Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom. Can you hear us?
We can.
Yes.
Grace and peace in Jesus, everyone.
Amen, brother.
Amen, bro. All right, flow is yours.
Welcome, sisters and brothers, to the Sound of Living Waters radio blog. My name is Brother Paul. I'm with the Fellowship of the Spirit. And our reader today will be Brother Robert Slayton. He's out of Colt, out of Evansville, Indiana, the Congregation of Law and Testimony. Sisters and brothers, before we start off tonight, why don't we open up in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. Lord, we ask for two things tonight. First, Father, that you keep your continual hedge about us. And second, Lord, that you continue tonight through your word to open our understanding so that we might put what you show us into practice in all our affairs. Father God, this is what we pray for tonight. To all that hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Sisters and brothers, the title of today's precept or lesson will be Teachers of God. Teachers of God. I'm not going to go into everything like Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and show you exactly what a teacher of God is supposed to be. We have understanding. We know that a teacher of God is someone that is going to stand up in front of a congregation, and he's going to give you the uncut word, and he's going to be giving it to you through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you can tell those that are sent by the Lord and those that are not. You've got those that have little or no understanding. They stand in front of a congregation and are constantly searching and reaching for things to say. Those that are sent by God, they're easy to sit in front of, and the precepts make sense, the lessons flow, and it's all uncut, straight truth. But that's not what we're dealing with today. What we're going to deal with today, sisters and brothers, is we're going to look at who the teachers of God were under the flesh and blood priesthood. And we're going to look at the Old Covenant first, then we're going to look at the teachers of God when Jesus returns in his kingdom and who they are. And then in the second part of the lesson, we're going to look at who the teachers of God are today. And we're going to start this off in Leviticus, the 10th chapter. Leviticus, the 10th chapter. Leviticus 10. And, Brother Robert, if you would start this lesson off, can you pick it up at verse 8, brother?
Leviticus. Yes, sir. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations.
So the Lord is very specific when he gave directions on how to make the tabernacle, when he gave directions on the priestly garments, all the way through the conduct of the priest. The Lord is very specific. He's got a certain way that he wants things done. Go ahead and continue, Amen. Please, brother.
And that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And
so the
that you
job
may
of the head priest is to put a difference between the holy and the unholy, and between the unclean and the clean. And the head priest is basically taking on the job of a shepherd or of a teacher. Go ahead and continue, brother.
And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses.
The Father gives it to the Son. He gives it to the Holy Spirit, who gives it to the nation of Israel through Moses and Aaron. That's what we have so far. Let's go to Numbers, the 16th chapter. Numbers, the 16th chapter. Sisters and brothers, sometimes when you put together a lesson, as some of you teachers out there know, you can get the Bible to just tell the whole story and to just let the scriptures flow. And I hope that's what we're going to do tonight. Numbers 16. And let's pick this up at verse 9, bro. 16 and 9. Go ahead.
Hang on 1 second here.
When did you get there, brother?
16 and 9.
Yes, sir.
Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?
Now, I should have started this in verse 8, because in verse 8, Moses says unto Korah, here I pray you, ye sons of Levi. He's talking to Levites. He's not talking to sons of Aaron. He's talking to sons of the tribe of Levi. Go ahead and continue, brother.
And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek you the priesthood also.
Now, Korah, he came together with his band, and what he was telling Moses and Aaron, that he wanted to do the job of the head priest too. That who do you think you are? You're so holy. We could do this job also. And so that's where we're picking up the story here. Go ahead and continue, brother.
For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up.
So you got Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, and they even said, we won't come up. But they weren't kicking against Aaron and Moses. They were kicking against the Lord. Skip down to verse 36 and continue, brother. Remember, we're dealing with sons of Levi here. 36 and continue.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed.
Well, now the Lord had the ground open up, and all the sons of Korah and all those that pertain to him, his family, his wives, his children, and everything, got swallowed up by the earth, and all their censers were left there burning. And the Lord is telling Moses to speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, to gather up all these censers out of the burning. In other words, leave all the incense and everything burning, for it's hallowed or holy, but take these empty censers up, because there's something I want you to do with them. Go ahead, brother.
38. the censers of these sinners against their own souls. Let them make them broad place for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel.
And they take all these censers, and they're going to take these censers, and they're going to make broad plates of them to cover the altar, and it's a sign unto the children of Israel. Go ahead and continue.
And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar to be a memorial. To be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near
no
to offer.
No stranger that is not of the seed of Aaron. Talking about not only Levi, but the entire nation of Israel, and the stranger that sojourns amongst them. They are considered strangers to the priesthood. Go ahead, brother.
Which is not the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses.
But
on the morrow, all the congregation.
That's good. Verse 40 is good for now.
Okay.
We see now that anyone other than Aaron, who was going to receive the oracles through Moses, the oracle straight from the Lord, and sometimes the Lord spake to Moses and to Aaron. Aaron was the high priest, and at times the intercessor, and Moses, we know, was the intercessor. And anyone other than the high priest and his lineage were considered strangers. Let's continue. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. Deuteronomy 33. Now, you got to remember, you had strangers that had already come out that were amongst the nation of Israel. So Israel knew who strangers were. They were told not to vex the strangers because you were once strangers in the land of Egypt. But if you were anyone other than Aaron and his seed, you were considered a stranger to the priesthood, just like if you were anyone other than Levi or Aaron's seed, you were considered a stranger, even if you were the of the other tribes of the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 33, and brother, start this off in verse 1, 33 and 1. Now the Lord had Moses bless all the tribes, and this is the blessing to Levi. First, we're going to pick it up in verse 1, 33 and 1. Go ahead, brother.
And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death.
Yes, sir. Skip down to verse 8 and continue.
And of Levi, he said, let thy Tumim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Messiah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah.
When you said in the Urim, that's how you communicated with God, and that's how the priest would wear that when they communicated with God. Go ahead, brother.
Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant.
And
they
that's
shall,
the promise to Levi. Go ahead.
They shall teach Jacob thy judgments. And Israel, thy law,
were the teachers to the nation of Israel and the strangers that sojourn amongst them. Because once the stranger, remember, once he took hold of the covenant, he was just like one that was homeborn. But the Lord was very specific. It said no stranger could be a king. That's okay. I didn't want to be king over Israel. That was a joke. You could laugh. No, seriously now. No stranger could be king. But anyone other than Levi or the priesthood were considered strangers because the stranger and the rest of the tribes of Israel were one and the same. There was no difference between them anymore once the stranger took hold of that covenant. Go ahead and continue. Tell us where you're at. Continue, brother.
I'm in the middle of 10.
Yes, sir.
They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his sustenance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him and of them that hate him, that they rise not again.
Yes, sir. Let's continue. Let's go to Malachi, the second chapter. Book of Malachi. Last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 2?
Yep.
Malachi 2. So we see how the Lord set it up. He was going to give man the right back to the tree of life through the nation of Israel, and he had set up a whole tribe. They had no inheritance in the land, but they had inheritance amongst all the other tribes, and they were more or less the go-between the nation of Israel and our Heavenly Father. They were the priests. Between them and the high priest, they taught all the people, and the Levites themselves ministered to all the holy things in the temple or in the sanctuary. Okay? The Levites were the teachers. They would be taught by Moses and Aaron, and then they would teach the rest of the nation. You don't actually think Aaron had the time, when they had over 600,000 men, plus women and children and strangers, to stand in front of the whole nation himself and teach. He taught others, the nation of the tribe of Levi, and they went out and taught the nation of Israel and the strangers. Malachi 2, and we're going to pick this up at verse 1. 2 and 1. Go ahead, brother.
And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold,
so the priest, he's talking to the priest. He's talking to the Levites. Go ahead, brother.
Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Was that it? My covenant, verse 5, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and iniquity and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity.
Go ahead, brother. He's describing the job of the priest. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, verse 7. For the priest's lips shall keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
So he's saying this is what the priest should do, and he's saying this is what you were, Levi. You were nothing but truth. You spoke the truth. You taught the nation of Israel. There was nothing but truth in your mouth. And then he goes on in verse 7, and he says, because the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. Go ahead and continue. Verse 8, brother.
Verse 8. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts.
Caused many to stumble and corrupted the covenant that the Lord made with Levi. The promises that they would be filled with truth and teach the other children of Israel. And then they, in turn, would be a nation of priests in a holy kingdom, and through their countenance or their conversation, their example, they would draw other nations to God.
Mm.
But Levi went out of the way. He fell to the side. He fell short. The law departed out of his mouth. Go ahead and tell us where you're at. Continue, brother.
Verse 9.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law.
And the Lord did punish Israel. And we know he punished the nation of Israel because they were the only nation that he knew as a nation. But this set of scriptures here sums up the punishment best. Let's go to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, brother, and pick it up at verse 22. 42 and 22. Go ahead.
But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth for a spoil, and none saith, restore.
Still waiting from the slavery days for the 40 acres and the mule after the Civil War. That ain't never happening. People robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. Look at the population in prison houses. Go back as far as records were kept. You're going to see every time the majority are those that are of the descendants of the nation of Israel, or what we commonly know as the African American or the Negro. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 23. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come?
Huh?
Who? Verse 24. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, against whom we have sinned?
Why did Jacob sin? Because Levi, the teacher, went south. The rest of the nation of Israel was only listening to what the teachers were teaching, and they were obedient to that. When they had righteous kings and the Levites were teaching straight book, the nation of Israel was prosperous. When they had wicked kings and they were told probably to pervert the scriptures or to serve other gods, the people followed suit. As the teacher goes, as the head goes, so does the body. Go ahead, brother.
Middle of verse 24. For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore, he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not. And it burned him. Yet,
and you know what, sisters and brothers? He knew not, yet it burned him. Sisters and brothers, you'd be amazed at the members of members of the nation of Israel out there that have no clue why these curses are constantly following them. The Lord said he was going to make the memory of the nation of Israel to cease until he gathered them and recovered them, and he meant that. Of course, you could always go to the book, and you could always show someone whether or not they're physical Israel. By the book, you can show people by the book who Israel is, and it's plain as day, sisters and brothers. But the point being, the Lord even hid it from Israel. He's hiding them so well. And it's the Lord that cursed them and threw all this on them, because the Levites, the priests, the teachers were disobedient. Let's go to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Nehemiah 8. And let's pick this up, brother, at verse 8. They're over here rebuilding the temple, and they find the book of the law, and they start reading. And let's pick it up at verse 8. Nehemiah 8 and 8. Go ahead, brother. This is during the memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. Go ahead.
So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tershedeth, forgive me, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, that taught the people,
what did the Levites do?
that taught the people.
The Levites taught the people. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. And said unto the all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes, sir. I got a lot of bleed over, so I'm going to try to keep try to calm my comments on my end so we could just continue. So just go ahead and keep reading, bro.
Okay. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be you grieved. All the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them.
Yes, and so the Levites are the ones that stilled the people. It's the Levites are the one that started instructing the people. Let's go back a chapter to Nehemiah, the seventh chapter. Let's go back to Nehemiah 7. Nehemiah 7, and brother, let's pick it up at verse 61, because we're going to see under the old covenant, okay, we're going to see that the Levites are teaching, and we're going to see how they're proving the Levites' teaching. 7 and 61, go ahead, brother.
And these were they which went up also from Talmiah, I can't say that.
That's okay.
Talmiah and Kerem. Abdon, and Immer. Forgive me for saying those words. But they could not show their father's house, nor their seed, whether they were of Israel.
Go ahead.
The children of Deliah, the children of Tobiah, the children of Nekadoah, 642, and of the priests, verse 63, and of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillia, which took one of the daughters of Barzillia, the Gileadite, to wife, and was called after their name.
So these are the children of the priests. These are the priests, the children of Habiah, children of Koz, children of Barzillai, which took one of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, to wife. Okay? Right. So these are the priests. Go ahead, brother. 64.
Verse 64. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy. But
in other words, they stood up and said, listen, we're sons of the priest. We're Levites.
Right.
Down here. We need to go ahead and get our job. Give us our garments. We'll take charge of the showbread or whatever. Give us the incense censers. Hey, man, we're Israel. We're Levites. Right?
Yes.
Go ahead,
yes,
brother.
Sir. Middle of 64. But it was not found, therefore, where they as polluted put from the priesthood.
But when they were starting to build the temple again, and they were looking inside the law, and they were looking to fill the jobs of the Levites and everything, they couldn't prove their genealogy. So they were put from the priesthood. In other words, they weren't allowed to assume their priestly duties, even though they said they were descendants of the priests. Because they couldn't prove their genealogies, they were put away from the priesthood. That's how serious it was being a priest under the old covenant. That's how serious it was. Let's go to Ezra, the book of Ezra. Let's get a witness on this. Ezra, the second chapter. Go to Ezra 2. Ezra 2. And let's pick it up, brother, at verse 58. Ezra 2 and verse 58.
All the Methusalems and the children of Solomon's servants were 392. And these were they which went up from Telahersa, Cherub, Aden, and Immer. But they could not shew their father's house and their seed, whether they were of Israel.
Same thing we just got done reading in Nehemiah. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Verse 60 in Ezra. Ezra 2, verse 60. The children of Delaiah, the children of Tobiah, the children of Nekodah, 652. And of the children of the priests, the children of Heba, the children of Kaz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughter of Barzillai, the Gideite, and was called after their name. These sought the register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, were they as polluted, but put from the priesthood.
This is how important it was to know what tribe you were coming out of. Because if you were of the tribe of Levi, there were certain promises that were specific to Levi. You didn't have inheritance with anybody else. You didn't have a land, per se. Your inheritance was the Lord. And you had a spot wherever any of the tribes of Israel were. But if you couldn't prove your genealogy under the old covenant, you had no part of the priesthood. That's how important the priestly duties were. Let's continue. Let's go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And, brother, let's pick it up at verse 37. 23 and 37. Go ahead.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
So Jesus is saying to Israel, how many times I would have gathered you, but you would not. So behold, your house is left unto you desolate. He's prophesying about the scattering of Israel. He's prophesying. And now we were going to go to Luke, the 13th chapter, but we're going to skip that because that's Jesus saying the same thing. All he's doing is he's saying that they're going to be scattered. Israel's going to be scattered. They're not going to stay in their own land. Now, they're not going to be gathered until his return. Let's go to Joel, the 3rd chapter. Joel, the 3rd chapter. Joel 3. Joel 3, and let's pick it up, brother, at verse 1. 3 and 1.
For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land.
Sisters and brothers, we're going to get into in a minute, or in a little while here, we're about to get into the teachers of today, okay? But now right here, what I want to point out, this is the gathering of the nations, and this is the return of Messiah. And there's other scriptures. For sake of time, I had to take... This lesson could be taught so many different ways. I know everybody out there listening to it has scriptures running wild in your heart. Praise God. Sisters and brothers, at this time, all nations are going to be gathered. There's other scriptures that say that all the nations are going to go back to their own lands, that the nation of Israel, and that the strangers that sojourn in that with Israel is going to get the physical part of the land or the physical inheritance. And this is still flesh and blood. Those of us that are teaching now and that are getting understanding now and have taken hold of the covenant, we're going to be the ones that come up in the first resurrection and live and reign with Jesus. We're going to live and reign over that flesh and blood. But
great.
That is the time of the gathering of the nations. What we are in today, up until the time and return of our Messiah, is the gathering of individuals of all nations, including the nation of Israel. They will not be gathered as a whole nation until the end. And they are not being called now as an entire nation. Just like all the other Gentile and Hamite nations are not being called by nation. This is not the time for that right now. This is the time for individuals within all nations to turn to him to make up the spiritual nation of Israel, the only one that really matters. But it is at this time that we're reading about now that Jesus is gathering all the nations. He's going to kill the ones he deems that to be wicked. He's going to set those that he deems to live with Israel and those that weren't wicked enough to die and weren't righteous enough to live in the land, and he sends them back to all other nations. They're going to be taught. Those are the ones that if they don't come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, there'll be no rain. It'll be the end of, like me, I'm Polish. My descendants that might be born after me that have no knowledge of God, that weren't deemed to be wicked, they're going back to Poland. Germans are going back to Germany. Doesn't matter where you're from, Chicago, San Diego, you're going back to your country of origin at this time. Now, brother, tell us where you're at and continue.
Verse 3, Joel 3:3. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Yea, and
what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zion, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head?
Because were the port cities where Israel was scattered through. Those were all port cities out of Mediterranean. They put them on ships and they sent them out of the area. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 5. Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head.
So this is the gathering of all the nations, first for the war of Armageddon, and then to set the earth straight for 1,000 years. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. Ezekiel 11. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 14. 11 and verse 14. Go ahead.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore, say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come.
Like in the prayer of Solomon, where he was asking the Lord, those that wake up wherever you scattered them, Lord, and turn back to you, that are of the nation of Israel, and pray toward this place. Solomon already knew. Then when you get into Romans, you get into the New Testament, you get into Romans, and you're looking at the 11th chapter. These are those that were cast aside that could be grafted back in, because this is the time for the individuals. But look what happens. Go ahead and continue, brother.
17. Verse 17. Therefore, say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel.
And
they shall
come. At the point of time, he's going to gather the entire nation and give them the inheritance at his return. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 18, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God.
The gathering of the nation of Israel. Now let's look at what happens when the Lord returns and he gathers that nation of Israel. Because what we're dealing with here is the flesh and blood priesthood. They were given the oracles of God. The priests turned wicked. The entire nation was scattered. And let's look at what happens with the rest of the flesh and blood priesthood as much as we can read in the book. Let's go to when Messiah returns. And we're going to go to Ezekiel, the 44th chapter. Ezekiel, the 44th chapter. Ezekiel 44, and let's pick it up at verse 2, brother, 44 and 2.
Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut.
So now this is the reinstitution of the priesthood, and we know this is during Messiah's time, because right there, it's talking about our Messiah back on this earth. Skip down to 5 and continue, brother.
And the Lord said unto me, son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations,
in that
you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat, and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations.
Now
and you have not
brought in strangers into the sanctuary, uncircumcised in heart, because they weren't taught the law. They couldn't circumcise their hearts. And uncircumcised in the flesh, because if you're not teaching the law, you're certainly not going to circumcise them. So this is talking about the Levites not teaching the people. Tell us where you're at. Continue, brother.
Verse 8. And you have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves.
Huh?
Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger uncircumcised in heart nor uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel.
Yes, sir. This is why. Skip down to 15 and continue.
But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me, to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God.
Uh-huh.
They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gate of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall
let's move this a little bit. Skip down to verse 22 and continue.
Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away.
But this is saying they're not to take for their wives a widow that has been put away. We're looking at flesh and blood descendants of the sons of Zadok. That's what this is, sisters and brothers. And you know who's proven their pedigree? Messiah.
Right.
This is at the reinstitution of the flesh and blood priesthood. And it's not until the return of our Messiah, Christ Jesus. Go ahead and finish that, brother.
Middle 22. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before.
What is their job? Go ahead.
23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Wasn't that one of the first scriptures? The first scripture we opened up with, that was the job of Aaron and his descendants. And then he, in turn, was going to teach the Levites. And then they can do exactly what the Lord said they need to do here. They can make a difference between the holy and profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 24. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths.
So this is the flesh and blood priesthood on this earth, sisters and brothers. And I'm going to try to move a little bit quicker here for the rest of this. We got a couple scriptures, not one-liners. But let's go to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew 27. Let's look at the end of the flesh and blood priesthood. Matthew 27. And, brother, read two verses, 50 and 51. Go ahead.
50 and 51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
So when Jesus died on the cross, that temple veil ripped in half. That's the veil that the high priest, when you brought a sin sacrifice, you killed the animal, he took the blood, he had certain things he had to do with the carcass and everything, but he took the blood and he dipped his finger in the blood, he would anoint the four horns on the altar, and then he would sprinkle the blood seven times on a temple veil for you to have your sin forgiven under the Old Testament sacrifices or the Old Covenant sacrifices. When Jesus died and became that sacrifice for sin, that temple veil ripped in half. Because when he was accepted by the Father, he became also our high priest. Not only was he our sacrifice for sin, or our lambs or bullocks or whatever we would always bring up to the high priest under the old covenant, he also became our high priest. Let's go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Hebrews. Hebrews 4, let's pick it up at 14, brother. 4 and 14.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings, with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
So Jesus is now our high priest, and he was tempted just like us. That's why you go into verse 16, because he was tempted like us, we can go onto that throne of grace boldly. Let's continue. Let's go to Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8, brother, let's pick it up at verse 1. 8 and 1, go ahead.
Know of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Uh-huh.
A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses and admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
But you had the high priest, and he had to make the sacrifices, and he had the sanctuary that was made with hands. But our true high priest, he went up to the sanctuary that's up in heaven. He's seated to the right hand of our Heavenly Father. And the high priest had certain ordinances and everything, and it was very specific. It was according to the pattern that was showed unto Moses in the mount. It was very specific what they had to do. Go ahead, brother, verse 6.
Verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
So what we're looking at here is Jesus becoming our high priest. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10, and let's pick it up at verse 19, brother. 10 and 19, go ahead.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh.
Remember, the temple veil ripped in twain, he became the sacrifice. And he's the one that went up into the sanctuary in heaven. So he's that veil now. The priest used to have to sprinkle the blood on the temple veil. But Jesus became that veil with his body, with his blood. Go ahead.
Verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water.
Yes, sir. That's good, brother. That's good, brother.
Okay.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us. And he is now our high priest over the house of God, so we can draw near boldly now with a true heart. Because Jesus is now our high priest. So we don't have an earth flesh. We don't have a flesh and blood priesthood any longer. Our Messiah is our high priest. But he's not here, and Israel is scattered. So who are the teachers of God now? Well, first, we know it's a gathering of individuals. We're not going to go to these scriptures for sake of time. I had Romans 2 and 29 and Galatians 3, 26 and 29. Both those scriptures and several others in the New Testament, they tell you there's no difference between Jew and Gentile any longer. Under the new covenant, through Christ Jesus our Messiah, suffering and dying for the sins of the world, the nation of Israel now is all those that take hold of the covenant, regardless of race, whether you're Gentile, Hamite, or Semitic. If you take hold of that covenant now, you make up the true nation of Israel, the ones where you're circumcised in the heart, because that's what matters the most. We understand we need circumcision and all that other stuff. We understand that. But we're looking at the times of the time of the signs of the times now, that it's time for individuals to come into the church, that all the nations, including Israel, won't be gathered until the return of Messiah. So now, let's go to Titus, the first chapter. Titus, the first chapter. We started going a little bit too long here. I had to chop some of this. Sisters and brothers, I apologize if it seems like we're bouncing all over the place tonight. Titus 1, and let's pick it up at verse 1, Brother Robert. 1 and 1.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the whole world began, but hath in due times manifested his own word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior.
Who's he talking to? Go ahead.
To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior.
Now he's calling Titus his own son, but he doesn't mean it in that way. He's talking about Titus, and we don't have time tonight. You look it up on your own. The Bible says Titus was a Greek. He was a Gentile. He's calling Titus his own son in the way, like when he sat under Gamaliel for all those years. Gamaliel being a master in the law or a lawyer in the law, one of the great Pharisees that knew every little nook and cranny. And Paul sat under Gamaliel. Gamaliel probably called him a son in the faith. That's what Paul's talking about. He raised Titus up in the word, didn't raise him physically. Go ahead and continue, brother. Verse 5.
For this cause lest I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee.
So what Paul had done is he left him in Crete, Titus, to ordain elders in every city as he had appointed Titus, because he appointed Titus an elder. You can't ordain elders if you're not one.
Amen.
So Paul took Titus, the Greek. Remember, this is after Jesus had broke down that middle wall of partition, and there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. So Paul took this Greek Titus, made him an elder, and sent him off to start churches, left him in Crete to start churches and to ordain elders. We already know that the Lord left the remnant of Israel, but we know also that it's not time for Israel to step up and be a nation of priests anymore. In fact, at this particular time, the only priesthood there is Messiah, after the order of Melchizedek. There is
Amen.
No flesh and blood priesthood.
Now,
when you take charge or you take hold of that covenant and you become spiritual Israel, whether you're physical Israel or not, those same promises in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6 hold true. You still become a nation of priests in a holy kingdom. But now it's not just the physical nation of Israel. Those days are gone. Those days will not return until Messiah returns. Now is the time for all individuals, physical and spiritual, to come to our Heavenly Father. So now
Amen.
Paul is talking to Titus. We already know Israel can teach. They were given the oracles of God. They were
Amen.
The teachers of God. All those that turn to the Lord today, that the Lord puts on them the spirit to teach, they will stand up and teach. Physical Israel hasn't completely gone away. But it's not like it was in the days when Daniel or Jeremiah or any of the prophets were in bondage. this bondage, the Lord scattered them completely. Get out of my sight, you wicked son. But, just like the prayer in Solomon, and what we can read in Romans 11, any individuals that turn back will make up the only nation of Israel that matters today, that spiritual nation of Israel, comprised of all nations. Let's go to Titus, the second chapter, and we'll pick it up at one verse. And sisters and brothers, I hope these scriptures are spinning out there for you. Titus 2 and verse 1, brother, go ahead.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We already know Titus is an elder. Skip down to verse 7 and continue.
In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
And I would say, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. In other words, he's telling them, yeah, you're an elder, but you're also a teacher, and you need to conduct yourselves the way you teach. So he's an elder, he's a teacher. Skip to verse 11 and continue, brother.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Huh?
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Peculiar people, zealous of good works, going right back to Exodus 19. What Paul's doing, basically, is just he's recounting the gospel to Titus. He's running it down to him. And then look what Paul says. One more verse, brother.
15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Now, Paul is like, he knows the Lord's no respecter of persons. He's over here grooming Titus, and he's telling him, you're a teacher, you're an elder. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and don't let anyone say anything different to you. You teach the gospel, and you bring it straight. And you set people straight on this. You go set up churches, set up elders, do what you got to do to further the gospel. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. We're almost there, sisters and brothers. 1 Timothy, the first chapter. How did I go from Titus and I can't find 1 Timothy? Oh, my goodness. I'm having one of them nights, sisters and brothers. I apologize. I can't find 1 Timothy. Here we go. 1 Timothy 1.
Back up about 10 pages. Back up about 10 pages.
1 Timothy 1. Look it up in verse 1, brother. Go ahead.
All right, man. 1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace,
he's another
mercy,
Gentile. The book says that Timothy's a Gentile. Paul again says, my own son, in the faith. All that means is he sat under Paul. Brother Bowie and Brother Danny could call me their son, and I wouldn't have a problem with it, because I sat under them both faithfully for years. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine.
It sounds to me like Timothy's in charge of some elders here, making sure that they're bringing it straight. Skip down to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, brother. Go to 1 Timothy 4. So he's a teacher here. You can see 1 Timothy, he's a teacher. He's got to take charge, and he's got to make sure that nobody teaches any other doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, and pick it up at verse 1, bro.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Uh-huh. So in other words, if you understand what it is that the Lord says is good to eat and what's not, go ahead.
Amen, brother. Verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving.
Absolutely. The Word of God says it. I agree 100%. But there's another verse. Go ahead, bro.
For it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer.
We can take that back to Leviticus 11 and see what was set apart that was safe to eat and what was not. Go ahead.
Verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained.
So now he's telling Timothy, if you put the brethren in remembrance of the dietary law, you shall be a good minister in Jesus Christ. He's a teacher. He's a minister. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. And then we have one other place after this. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And brother, read verse 10, 16 and 10.
Now, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do.
He worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Timotheus, that's just Timothy in Greek. And he works the work of the Lord, as he also does. In other words, he goes out there, he sets up churches, ordains elders, makes sure they're bringing it straight, making sure that everybody's got a chance at gaining that right back to the tree of life.
Amen.
He's a Gentile. We already know that Israel could teach because Paul's the one that's teaching them and sending them. And everything all over the book. Even if you never sit in front of physical Israel, if you gain salvation through the Bible, you sat in front of physical Israel, because every one of these books is written by a physical Israelite. Don't give me none of that junk about the Gentile physician. That's a bunch of malarkey. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we'll end it here. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and let's pick it up at verse 13, brother. 12 and 13. Go ahead.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
For the body is not one member, but many.
The body is not one member, but many. The body's not one member, but many. There's many jobs within the body of the church. Okay? There's some sisters and brothers that stand up on their own and have a little bit of understanding. There's some that have mad understanding. But they weren't set up to be teachers. And as soon as they stand in front of the congregation and start trying to be teachers, it's very evident they shouldn't be standing up there. And after a while, sooner or later, the Lord weeds them out. They get to a congregation where they're told, you're not standing up here anymore. Or they go off and they start their own thing, and after a very short period of time, they go away. I've been teaching for quite a while. I've taught at Israelite classes. I've taught at Gentile classes. I've been told I can't teach this, that, and the other. You know what? I'm still here teaching. It's been years. I've seen some sisters and brothers stand up, Sisters can teach. They just can't stand over a congregation. They can teach children's classes. They can teach other sisters. But I've seen some stand up and start teaching, and you just know that the Lord didn't send them, and after a very short period of time, they go away, and you never hear from them again. So let's skip down to verse 27, and let's see what the Lord has to say about those members in the body. And we'll end here. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in a peculiar and members
particular.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, bro.
And God has set some in the church, first apostles, second, I can't read that. My Bible's messed up. I can't read that next word. My Bible's messed up right there, brother.
Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that,
miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues.
This is all members of this body under the new covenant. First, you've got apostles. Those are the ones that walked around with Messiah. And you've got prophets. Who's the prophet like unto Moses, the last prophet that the Lord said he was sending? Our Messiah. Thirdly, you got teachers. Sisters and brothers, there's teachers everywhere, but we're not under the flesh and blood covenant. Now it's whoever the Lord sets up. He gave us examples of Paul setting up Gentiles. We know Israel can teach. I know Hamites that bring the word of God straight.
Amen.
We're under the new covenant now, and it's whoever the Lord sets up to teach. There's diversities of tongues. Pick it up at 29, brother.
Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Sisters and brothers, you're over here, and we're all given gifts. We're all given gifts from the Lord. We can't all stand up here at the podium or in front of a congregation. Our gift might be organizing class functions or doing calendars or whatever the case might be. Any function within the church, seeing the same brother at every feast, being the first one at the serving table, when you're going through the line, it doesn't matter. Everything within the body of God is edifying at one time or another. And standing up in front of the congregation is not any more important than vacuuming the congregation after class and making sure the doors are locked. We all have a role and we all have a function. But the most important thing here is to covet earnestly the best gifts. You believe the Lord put a gift on you, give it everything you got. You're seeking in prayer and meditation, and you're getting it put on you that you should take hold of a particular gift. Do it with everything you got, sisters and brothers.
Amen.
When I first came into the Word, I never imagined that I would be a teacher and that I would be licensed minister. I always thought I'd be a reader for one of my Gentile brothers that would stand up and would start teaching. And maybe I'd be able to take hold of the information racks at the front of the class or something. I never set my goals to teach. The Lord, through a lot of trials and tribulations, set me up. And he did the same with other teachers. But this is the time right now, sisters and brothers, for individuals of all nations to stand up and to teach the Word of God. That flesh and blood priesthood right now is put on a shelf, if you will. Those flesh and blood Levitical teachers that could be the only ones to teach the people, that's been put up on a shelf until the return of Messiah because of the wickedness of the nation of Israel. When he scattered them, he opened a door to bring all Gentiles and Hamites and people of other nations into the covenant. And at this particular day and age, the Lord sets up teachers, and he puts them up in front of congregations, and it could be anyone of any nation. So, sisters and brothers, I appreciate the opportunity to rightly divide God's word. I'm sorry that it was a little bit out of tune tonight, if you will. We were both kind of off base. But I hope somebody got something from these scriptures. And I'll turn it over to Brother Job and Sister Raya.
Shalom. Shalom, shalom.
Man, Brother Paul. Amen.
Shalom. Oh, my God.
I'll say whosoever will.
Praise be to God.
And listen. Well, let me say this too. I got a couple of scripts I just want to add to it quickly, but one is, I just want to say, man, great lesson, man. I love the fact that you went in there and you broke down the lineage that these cats had to hire their papers to run that priesthood. The Lord was dead serious about that. And that he had it written in a song that he said, this man was born here and that man was born here. And you're right. That's going to be at a time of point, you know, that's all coming. That's not yet, you know. But, yeah, that's in Psalms 87. And he said this. He said Psalms 87, and I'll pick it up at verse 1. It says, his foundation is the holy mountain. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistine and Tyre, Ethiopia, this man was born there. So he's telling us right here that we are all among these people right now. That is to say, the so-called African-American, black man, Negro, whatever you may mention him, which happened to be the lost tribe of Israel. He said this. He said, I would make mention of Rahab, which he said, and Babylon to them that know me. You see, to them that know me. He said, and the Philistine, and Tyre, well, that's Spain, Ethiopia, well, we know that's Kush. This man was born there. And when you go to Ethiopia, you got the Philistines and the Danites over there, and they saying that they got the lost books, right? Verse 5, and Zion shall be said, this is that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count. The Lord shall count when he written up the people that this man was born there, Selah. So he's going to establish all of us where we're supposed to be in the end of time. And as far as the nation's concerned and the strangers, you're right, bro. You home, you're supposed to be home, boy, you're doing the same work. You get the same reward, right?
Amen.
Man.
So that's the other verse I want to bring up. That's Revelation chapter 5. If you're putting in the work, you get the same reward. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it says this. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So the Lord is going to choose priests out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It's not going to make a difference what world you're from. You see, this is that thing. Why? Because in Hebrews chapter 7, he said he's the king of righteousness, not lineage. He's the king of righteousness. Well, this is that thing. As long as you perform in righteousness, the God of Israel is going to reward you of the work that he's giving you to perform. You know, and as Robert, that was a great job, man. I know a lot of the words that you got caught up on. Don't feel strange, man. No five-syllable words catch me. You know what I mean?
I hear you, brother. Thank you.
That's a real.
I didn't
that's
a reading and tell stories for this, so I.
Say again.
Praise God.
Amen. you know, I'm going to tell you that, especially coming out of that Nehemiah chapter 8, because that's all the priests, and them cats got like three syllables in each last one of their names. You know?
I hear you.
And I got a problem with any name got more than two syllables. Ask Paul. You know, so, man, that was a great lesson, man. Great precept. You know, man, that was just wonderful, man, and well put together. So, hey, what can you say other than the Lord was with it? I understood it, and a great job, Jew. Hallelujah. Great work there, Robert. Great work.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to read. Thank you.
Amen.
Great. Anybody else have any comments or any questions?
I guess no. Well,
real quick,
everybody else? Go ahead,
Brother Joe.
Yes, sir.
Hey, real quick, brother, what's a good time to contact you in the morning?
In the morning?
Or sometime tomorrow.
Let's look at about 8 o'clock, 8 or 9.
About 8, okay.
Yeah, between 8 and 9, that'll be good.
Sounds good. We want to talk to you about maybe filling another night.
Hey, brother. Well, we got a couple in there, so that sounds good. Let's go ahead on and have that conversation.
Yes, sir. We'll pick
all
that
right
up in the morning.
And I hope y'all had a good feast, man. I hope y'all had a great feast week. Y'all know y'all just came out of it last week, so I'm hoping everything went well and everybody enjoyed it.
It did. As a matter of fact, Brother Eric came down from Wisconsin, and I got a bunch of pictures sitting around a campfire I haven't put up yet.
It was a beautiful time.
Amen. That was wonderful. That's wonderful. Amen. Great, 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 great. Amen. Well, hey, brother, with all that being said, you got any closing comments?
I just hand it over to you, my brothers, sisters, and brothers. Grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, like we said, once again, everyone, been listening to the Sounds of Living Waters radio show, Blog Talk radio show. I'm Joe Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel. You just got to listening to Paul and Robert out of the spirit of, call him the spirit of meekness and charity. I know it's the fellowship of the spirit. I get all these different ministries. Of the fellowship of the spirit ministry. Amen. Great, great lesson. Brothers and sisters, I hope y'all got the gist of that. And I thank the Lord for putting this on this man's heart to deliver that lesson. And like this brother said, the Lord will use anyone as long as you present yourself and your hands is clean enough for him to use. So with that being said, great job, Rob, for reading and everything, keeping up. I know Paul be blazing through the script, so you get a great day for keeping up, bro.
Thank you.
Wait. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time.
Say
what?
We'll be back Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah, of course. And we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And we want to be back here same time Wednesday night. 7 o'clock p.m., we'll be here with the Nation of Peace, Brother Tony Swanson, a.k.a. Little Israel, a.k.a. Nehemiah Israel, bringing what?
That kingdom
state of mind. That's right. So with that being said, we want to thank everyone for their time. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles.
Amen.
Amen. Grace and peace, everyone. I'm appointed.
Long.
Sounds of the Living Water radio show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Times of the living water, times of the living water, times of the living water, radio show. Times of the living water, times of the living water, times of the living water, radio show. Times of the living water, times of the living water, times of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.